Let us all say amen. I don't know about you, that I know one day I am going to be called from labor to glory. And how am I so confident that I'm going to be called to glory? Because I know who died on the cross. And I know that he makes these intercessions between me and his Father. He's promised me that he would never leave me, nor would I forsake him. He has required of me to do his will. And as long as we do his will, church, we ought to have some guarantees on this time side of life. That's what makes me faithful. That's what motivates me to know that when death knocks on my door, the God of heaven that I serve promised he would dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take me to the other side. Okay. And so that gives me confidence and reassurance on this time side of life. I don't know how it will be when death comes, but I hope and pray that I have the confidence and the reassurance that comes from his word. Amen. We've been looking at this word compassion. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. And we've been dealing with Jesus and his compassion that he had on mankind. I don't believe we understand what the word really, truly means. And so this morning, once again, we're going to dissect what compassion is. Because when I look at the world in which we live in, do we really have the compassion that comes from the word of God? All I have to do is mention one name, and our compassion goes out the window. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. What's the name? Starts with a T and A. But he has a soul. And that soul is the soul that God wants us to save. And so this morning as we look at Matthew chapter 9, I just want to just recall what Jesus said. The Bible says in roundabout verse number 36, but when he saw, you need to underline that, Jesus sacrificed his life. He had an attitude to sacrifice because he wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth. When he saw the multitude, he was M-O-V-E. He was motivated. He was obedient because the victory brought about eternal salvation. Powerful servant that we serve. That's why the child of God ought to be the most excited person on the face of the earth.
Yes,
and what are we? Sometimes we're the most miserable person on the face of the earth. Why? Because we have allowed Satan to tie us up, to wrap us up in the cares of this world. We have been freed from the cares of the world. And I don't know about you, when you're free from something, you like to go back in?
No.
I got a check up here this morning. I'm going to pay off everybody's bills. And I'm wondering as I pay off your bills, how many of you are going to go back into debt? I want to say the next day, but how many of us is no sooner than I get through preaching? See, if I'm going to free you, and if we've been free from the shackles of the world, why would we allow the world to bind us once again? Jesus here looks out at the multitude of people. The Bible says when he saw them, he was moved with what? Compassion. And I want you to look at why he's moved. Because the Bible says they fainted. They were faithless. Ever been in that stage? You got to ask yourself, what really moves us? See, when I talk about that M-O-N-E-Y, boy, you should have, I wished I'd had a camera here. Boy, you lit up and you really thought I was going to do something. But see, Jesus did do something. He died on the cross to free us. The Bible says he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Few, few faithful, energized workers. That's pretty deep. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers where? Whose harvest? You sure it ain't Stan's?
No.
You sure it ain't yours?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of times we think it belongs to us. No, it belongs to the Lord. And so do we ask God to send forth laborers? But see, don't ask God to do something that you ain't doing.
Right.
Why would he send laborers and you ain't laboring? Why would he send, oh, y'all quiet. It's already been by my toes, so you're just getting a residual. Why would he give us anything if we're not going to do the basic things that he requires of us? And so this morning, the title of the lesson, Compassion is Played Out in Our Service to God. Jesus here understood compassion. He understood it because as he looked at the multitude, it moved him. And it moved him, why? Because he saw the people, how they fainted, how they were scattered abroad. What do we do when we see people in distress? Boy, I tell you, this text here has been a challenging text. Because now when I see people, I see them from a different light. And when I don't go that extra mile to help that individual,
right.
Oh, I already know I've not lived up to what Jesus said. Now, you know what that requires? That requires you getting your mindset for persecution. Mm-hmm. That requires you getting your mindset to suffer. Maybe even lose your life for the cause of Christ. That's what compassion is. Being willing to sacrifice everything that God can get the glory. Because see, if someone kills you in the name of the Lord, guess what? You got the victory.
That's
oh,
right.
Yo, I don't want to die. I don't either. But there's going to come a time.
That's right.
That where God's going to put in our way things that brings him glory and honor. And the question is, are you willing? Jesus had that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said three times he prayed that the cup would pass for him.
Yes.
And when you line those gospels in harmony, one of the gospel writers says, Jesus said, for this cause was I born. You know what? You were born to die.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You thought you were born because you deserved to be born? And when you went in a watery grave, guess what? You are willing to die every single day. Every minute of the day. Why? Because it brings glory and honor to the Father when you live your life in reference to him.
Amen.
Compassion must be played out in the things and how we serve the Lord. Jesus understood that. As he looked over the multitude of the people, he was moved to serve God's people. Why? Because they fainted, they were lost. They were scattered abroad, didn't know which way to go, didn't know which way to turn. Anybody ever get in that boat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know every hand in there ought to raise.
Amen.
Because even when you walk in the light as he is in the light, sometimes you get sidetracked.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I wished I could tell you I'm a good preacher 24/7. I'm not. But I'm like Jeremiah. When I mess up, I fess up.
Amen.
And I try to do better every single day. I don't want to be one of the ones that Jesus is talking about here. He's moved with compassion, and his movement caused him to act. See, when we're moved with compassion, it brings about action on our part. Not lip service, but it brings about action. Jesus here is moved to the point that he's willing to die for each and every one of them, and he does. And so the question is, when we are moved by compassion, do we show the world that God's alive and well inside of us?
Wow.
Or have we become those individuals that have taken the light and hid it under a bushel? Point number one, in order for you to understand what true compassion is, one must learn to humble oneself. I'm learning that there's no way I can serve God unless I humble myself and do what he requires. We talked about that a little bit this morning.
Amen.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees thought that they were right on the money. But when it came time to help somebody that was injured, the Bible said they walked on the other side. When it came time for him to make the difference, he looked at him from the other side.
Right.
Church, I want to encourage us and remind us that compassion, true compassion, comes about when we are acted out in our service to God. But in order to do that, point one, you got to learn how to humble yourself. Oh, yes. Without being humble and submissive, you will never, ever do the will of the Father. Jesus set the example. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. And I'm learning. That's how you treat how to learn, teach a child. You got to teach a child by the example. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. So if your children ain't doing what... Let me get back over here. They're only going to do what they see you do. And if our example of serving God is when we feel like it, guess what? That's what they're going to do. If our example of serving God is on the first day of the week only, that's exactly what they're going to do. Church, I'm learning that my example of life to my family has to be something that goes beyond Stan, because sometimes I don't want to be bothered with me. Let alone, don't look at me funny. You know good and well I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
And so I'm learning that my example of being a Christian, you notice I didn't say a preacher, a Christian has to be an example that shows God in me.
Amen.
And the only way they're going to see that is they got to see a regular, a regular diet of the Word of God in our everyday life. Jesus was an example of that. The Bible showed it through John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he what?
Gave.
What did he give? He didn't give just anything. So who told you you can give just anything? Huh? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus set the example from his father. Man, if he set the example from his father, and Jesus says, now I've left you an example. What's the example, Jesus? Worship God how? When you feel like it, right? On the first day of the week. No, John chapter 4, verse number 24. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him how?
Spirit
and in truth. And I'm not the smartest in the world, but A-N-D means it's joining something together. You know how folks say they got the spirit of God? Oh, I'm so blessed. How can God bless you if you don't have his spirit?
Amen.
How can you? He bless you and you don't have the truth? I know what he said. He allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. But Ephesians chapter 1 and round about verse number 3, all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. Church, that's why you ought to be excited. That's why you ought to be motivated. You're going to heaven if you do what God says. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And church, and I'm learning, obey God, follow God, don't follow me.
Amen.
Amen. I've learned that. You know, I used to follow man. Mm-hmm, you did too. And some of us are still following them. Maybe that's why our attitude is the way it is. That's why our faces are sometimes the way it is. That's why sometimes. Amen. See, because when you follow man, you can't expect man to do but only what man knows. I'm learning that when you follow Jesus, it requires more than just lip service. It requires you follow the example that he followed. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says the Son of Man has come not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus died on the cross to save somebody else. You've been buried in water for the remission of your sin. For who? Huh? I didn't hear you.
For God.
For somebody else, for God. And I'm learning, church, that when you really understand that, Lip service goes out the window.
That's right.
And then compassion comes in to move you beyond who you think you are. See, Jesus was our example. John chapter 6 and verse number 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and round about verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come. And that just shows you how smart man is. He got a night shift. And why everybody like the night shift? I'm going to leave that alone. Jesus says, for the night shall come when no man can work. He is our example of serving. And see, and service comes when an individual really humbles himself and allow God to use him to his glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 1. Listen to what Peter says to the body of believers. The Bible says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, unto the partaking of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. That's why as elders and preachers and teachers of the word, our responsibility is so deep, because God's going to hold us really accountable. And I'm like this. If I'm going to be accountable for you, if I'm going to be accountable for you, you better buckle up your seatbelt, because I'm going to show tell it like it is. And like the mailman, don't get mad at me. I'm just delivering the mail to you. That's all. And I want to encourage you. But look at what Peter says to the elders of the body of Christ. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing and not of filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither be lord over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to stop right there. If I popped in when I felt like it, how would you feel? Oh, come on, y'all, talk to me. If I popped in, like most people pop, I'm trying to straighten this thing out, how would you feel?
Not happy.
Not happy? Would you follow me? Would you really listen to me?
No.
Would you be motivated to do whatever I ask you to do? No. So why should I follow you? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, I got you now. Church, somewhere down the line, Peter is talking about the example. And he reminds us as the believers, we must be an example to the flock. And church, and I want to encourage us and remind us that this example that he's talking about for the elders, it also applies to you. You know why? Because we're going to read that it applies to you. Verse number 4, he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I like the Bible, because God don't leave anybody out. Likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives more grace to the humble. Verse number 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you don't think the devil's out to get you, you're working for the boy. Amen. He already got you. See, we're either a child of the Most High God, or we're working for Satan. You know, I know we like to think that, you know, I'm in the middle. But no, Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold. But since you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I don't want to get to the judgment seat. And he says, I don't know you. You know, from the trumpet. Yes, you do know me. No, I don't know you. Never mind, I'm going on to the next one. But he says, humble yourself. He will exhort you in due time. Verse number 9 says, who resist steadfastness in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all glory, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, I wonder why he didn't put establish you. I wonder why he didn't put settle you. I wonder why he didn't put strengthen you, make you perfect before suffering. I wonder why. See, boy, don't we want the glory and don't want to work for the, huh? Anybody here want to have money to where you can do whatever you like? Yeah. Well, you got to work for it. Unless you hit the lottery and win, and then you need to share that with somebody. But anyway. But Peter here is trying to show the believer that it is our suffering that brings us to this level of completion in our Christian walk. See, I'm learning that if I really want to know what compassion is about, I got to really know what suffering is about. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and the Bible says he died alone. Even his own father turned his back on him when he took on the sins of the world. But he did it. That I got the right to the tree of life. Amen. See, I don't know how you take it, but when I stop and think about how they prayerated him from hall to hall, how they beat him beyond recognition.
Yes, sir.
How they laid stripes on him, how they placed a crown of thorn upon him. And then the king himself, the governor, thought he could say anything he wanted. And he told Jesus, don't you know I have the right to set you free or to crucify you? And that's what I like about Jesus. Jesus said, thou have no power over me unless it be given thee from above. Question, if I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and am added to the body of Christ, who has power over me? Come on, y'all. Nobody unless it be given by God himself. And the only way God gives Satan power over us is when we fall into sin.
Yes.
As long as we walk in the light as he is in the light, Satan doesn't stand a chance.
Yes.
That's why we ought to be excited. Amen. That's why we ought to be motivated. Amen. Why? Because we have the power of God in our everyday life. Why do you think he gave you the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
And then Paul says, don't quench it. Mm-hmm. How many of us taking the Spirit in the side? We don't want that one. See, because that Spirit requires something of us. That Spirit requires us to fess up, to get up, and do what's right. Peter says in verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and then he settles you. I guess I can look at the cord of time. I know my time's coming.
Amen.
Am I anxious? No, not really. I miss everybody. I miss my family. I miss my loving wife. But you know what? I'm going to take on a totally different form.
Amen.
No more pain.
Yes.
No more sorrow.
Amen.
I will be able to live in glory with God forever and ever and ever. And church, that only comes when an individual understands what true compassion is all about. Point number two. True compassion comes not with the action of lip service. I'll say that again. You know, how many of y'all like somebody that can talk a good game but don't live up to the game?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. How many of us have talked a good game and don't live up to it?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. I understand. Been there. Done that. Got the diploma to show you that I've done it.
That's right.
And I'm learning that if you don't keep your eyes on the cross, guess what? You'll go right back to the same thing. That's why Peter says to the believer, it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. It's like the true proverb, the dog returning to his vomit and the pig after you clean him up goes right back into the mud. Church, I want to encourage your hearts and remind us God has poured out his compassion in his son, Jesus Christ. And you and I, when we stop giving him lip service and give him what's due him, you watch our lives change. You watch our households change. And you watch the body of Christ change. See, because when we do things God's way, God will prosper it. Paul said to the church in Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God to give the increase. When was the last time you planted something? When was the last time you watered? Then you had to ask yourself a question. Why isn't God giving the increase? Point number two requires service and not lip service. Matthew chapter 13, and round about verse number 13. Jesus here says these words, therefore speak I to them in parable, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah, which says, in hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and shall be converted, and I shall heal them. Blessed are you whose eyes foreseen and ears. Wait a minute, let me do that again. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that hear. See, somewhere down the line, it's not about just saying I'm a child of God. We got to live it.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, we are the light of the world. Question, if we're the light of the world, what's wrong with the world? Huh? When's the last time we made the difference in someone's life? But that's true compassion.
Right.
Being able to make the difference. Not putting yourself here, but humbling yourself down and doing what God said. See, the true servant of God doesn't give lip service, but it is motivated, his motivation, his enthusiasm come with his service to God. Let me show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. The Bible says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive. Oh, yes. This text here just eats me alive, because I have to remind myself, why am I doing what I do? You think I'm here every Sunday because of you? Mm-mm. You didn't die on no cross for me. I'm here because I'm going to go to heaven. I know one day I'm leaving here, and I want him to say, Stan, you did a good job. Come on in here and sing with the... Oh, y'all don't like singing?
Amen.
Yeah, let me go on. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience, meekness, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have been taken captive at his will. See, God's servant can't no longer give lip service.
Nope.
Yeah. That old saying, do as I say, is do as I do. And if you do what you see, guess what? The world will be a much better place.
Amen.
Finally, compassion is an action of service to others. It requires obedience. It requires faithfulness. It requires steadfastness, long suffering, but it really requires agape love. And I'm learning that when you really have that agape love, it's not difficult to serve somebody else. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, as I close, the Bible says, now abide the faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of the three is love. And see, when you have the true love that comes from the Word of God, your compassion moves you beyond your physical man. It moves you to the point that you're willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, that someone else might be lifted up. Want to encourage your church, and hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart. I'm learning that this word compassion, I thought I had a handle on it. But last week I found out I didn't have a real good handle. And when Henry preached, what handle did I really have? But church, I'm learning that if you and I work together on our compassion, first and foremost, to one another, we can change the world in which we live in.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you, those of you that are members of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God, want to encourage you, stop and think about what God is doing for you in your life. And then ask yourself a true question on a scale of 1 to 10. Where is he? Is he really number 1 or is he 11 or 12? And then those of you that are visiting that are not members of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God this morning. I hope and pray you've received it in the spirit I've tried to present it. It's all about the Lord and it's really not about anything else. I want to encourage you, you've heard the word, Romans 10:17. Do you believe what I said? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Are you willing to repent of your sin? Luke 13:3, 13:5. Can you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Matthew 10:32 and 33. We'll bury you in the watery grave of baptism, and you can leave here a child of the Most High God. And guess what? You can have the same benefits I got. I got some benefits that is out of this world. Come on, y'all, work with me. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song.